Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to be with you on this Thursday. Steve Jones, along with Kevin Hearn. And what we refer to as Kevin's Wide World of Sports.
That would have been the... That was my dream job growing up, all kidding aside.
Oh, yeah?
Wide World of Sports was actually the dream job. That would have been awesome. I was a huge fan, though, of Jim McKay.
Well, he obviously was a great pro. Outstanding announcer. Did everything really, really well and was rock solid in the studio.
I always loved how everything with him was a story. And see, you know, you always poke fun at me about, you know, having a great setup or something like that. That's what started it, was watching him. He was able to, oh, man, he had some great scene setters.
All
right. See, he was a writer. He was a writer as well. That's where I think I've fallen short, is I'm not a writer.
Nothing to do with that. Well, I guess it has something to do with it. I mean, you do have to be a good writer in this when you do something like that. But yeah, as I always point out to you, there's still 3 hours of game after that.
Absolutely point. Correct. There are still hours to go yet.
There's still 3 hours of game. Yeah. Just want to make sure you know that.
I'm very aware. The book that he wrote, the biography for Jim McKay. That was a good one. A lot of stuff in there I was not aware of.
Such as?
There was a time right before Wide World of Sports where he literally had no job and was almost completely out of money. I mean, almost totally broke. And that came around and all of a sudden completely changed his career. For the life of me, though, I can't remember what the name of the book was.
I Want to Be Kevin Hearn by Jim McKay?
No. I got a funny feeling that's what? Not what it was.
Wasn't it?
No. No.
What? Well, and of course his son, Sean McManus, because Jim McKay's name is actually McManus.
Right.
Son Sean McManus, of course, at CBS Sports, has carved out an incredible career. State Senator Jake Corman from Center County, he's the 34th District Senator in Pennsylvania, and was recently elected, I believe this week, as the man that will be the new Senate Majority Leader, was with Mark Lawrence on the Mark this morning. Kevin intensely grilled him.
Actually, I did not. I did not. Mark Lawrence and Joe McGranahan had all the questions on that one. And they did discuss the lawsuit that is right now in the courts, or his lawsuit, I should say.
Yeah, we're in the discovery stage, which you're being able to read about right now as we post some things on our motions. We're about prepared to go to trial in January on the validity of the consent decree. And that's what's before the court right now. The court has already ruled on our initial lawsuit that the $60 million that the NCAA fined Penn State, that money has to stay in Pennsylvania through the Endowment Act, which was Act 1 of 2013. But now we're moving into a phase to have a trial on the validity of the consent decree. What we have discovered through our, you know, our discovery motions and getting copies of emails and all the information that went on at the NCAA that surrounded the consent decree, is that there was a high level of involvement of the NCAA in the free report. You know, the narrative that we were all sold was that, you know, Penn State, after the Sandusky scandal comes to light, hires Louis Free and his firm to go out and investigate what happened, who knew what, who did what, and then recommend any best practices moving forward. And then once the NCAA read Louis Free's report, they levied the sanctions on Penn State, which were historical. What we're finding out is there was a high-level involvement of the NCAA in the creation of the Free Report. Not only, you know, was there weekly conference calls, there was, you know, a three-hour conference call educating the Free people by the NCAA on what institutional control is. And that's key because the NCAA, you can see in their internal discussions, you know, was doubting themselves whether they had jurisdiction based on the fact there was no academic fraud, there was no recruiting violations, there was no payment of players, none of the traditional committee of infractions oversight that a school would be in trouble for with the NCAA. And so for them to be able to be involved in punishing and levying any sanctions on Penn State, they needed the hook. They needed institutional control, which is a, you know, obviously a wide definition of something, and culture problems at Penn State. So, you know, lo and behold, you know, they're submitting, you know, information to Free on how to ask Penn State employees whether there's cultural problems or not. They're educating Free on what institutional control is. And what do you think Louis Free's report comes out as? Louis Free's report comes out with no new information. There's no new evidence that we already didn't know from the Attorney General's office, but what he comes out with is cultural problems at Penn State, institutional control problems at Penn State, exactly what the NCAA was looking for to come in and levy the sanctions that they wanted. And when you see the other troubling emails about, you know, this is a PR issue for the NCAA and that Penn State is roadkill, that, you know, we need to bluff Penn State into taking this position, which they did. It's to be honest with you, guys, it makes me angry.
Well, let me ask you this, though.
It makes me very angry.
Let me just add this, and then I'll let you finish. If your main goal is to make Penn State the very best university it can be in the future, do you not want everybody who's in any sort of investigative or reporting or controlling interest to know everything they should and could possibly know? Don't you want everybody to know everything?
Absolutely. The thing that I have pushed for from the beginning, from the very beginning of this, and I even had a conversation with President Erickson before he signed the consent decree, and I said to him, you know, Mr. President, the most founding principle that we base the success of our country on is due process. You know, we must have due process for people before we can make final judgments on guilt or blame and things of that nature. Jerry Sandusky received due process. You know, he was afforded counsel, he was afforded a jury before his peers, and then ultimately a decision of guilt was rendered. NCAA was doing everything they could to prevent Penn State from having due process. They went outside the Committee of Infractions, which normally does the investigative process. They forced Penn State into taking this this punishment without any investigation. And they based it all on culture and institutional control, not any new information. Look, if a full investigation was completed and it was rendered that Penn State covered up rape of young boys for the betterment of the football program, I would be the first to say they deserve the death penalty. Clearly, if that was what was going on. There's no evidence to say that was going on. There's no evidence to say there was a culture problem. A lot of what they blamed the culture problem on was this janitor who was afraid to report what he saw. Well, Mike McQuarrie did report what he saw, and he was not fired. He was not forced out. In fact, his career at Penn State grew after that. So I'm not sure what they're hooking on to that says there's a culture problem, that people were afraid to take on the football program. So it's just a sad set of circumstances that obviously there was a tremendous tragedy that went on in our community with what Jerry Sandusky was perpetrating. As someone who was very involved with the Second Mile, it devastates me and all the people who were there to help children to think that it was being used as a grooming process to find children for this child molester. Having said that, you don't help victims by making more victims. You know, everyone was so crazed by what we all saw that there was, this immediate desire for retribution, immediate desire for punishment, and no one wanted to wait for due process and the facts. And that's all I've ever asked for, is what are the facts? You know, obviously the free report is one set of opinions. You know, Governor Dick Thornburgh, former Attorney General of the United States, you know, wrote a report completely different of the findings that Free had. And anyone knows, Governor Thornburgh knows, he's a man of tremendous respect that would not just write this for the sake of defending Penn State. He wrote it because that's what he believed. So, let's have due process. And unfortunately, I think the NCAA is just so discredited that if I was the university president around the country, Bucknell there or anywhere else, public or private university, I'd be very, very concerned what I'm watching in the NCAA, not just with Penn State, but the University of Miami, University of Southern Cal. I'd be very, very concerned what the NCAA is doing, and I would be looking either for major reforms or, if not, disbanding of the organization.
That is State Senator Jay Corman, a Republican from Center County, the 34th District Senator, who was elected this week, by the way, by his peers as the new Senate Majority Leader, a post that he will take over in January. He, along with State Treasurer Rob McCord, have crafted the lawsuit against the NCAA. He was a guest this morning on the Mark, as you heard the question asked by Mark Lawrence. On the Mark with Mark Lawrence here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. So in case you missed it and wanted to at least hear his side as to how he views the lawsuit and how he views what has been discovered so far and what the future plan is, you had a chance to hear that. And, of course, that will be posted online as well, as it already has. Okay. High school football previews coming up. We'll be doing that. Selins Grove and Jersey Shore will be squaring off for the district championship. Tomorrow, Harry Donahue, the play-by-play voice of Temple football. Dave Refson tomorrow, Big Ten Network, and more random thoughts with Kevin Herr.
Sports is fun. That was an example of random thoughts.
We have to find a sponsor for that.
Well, I don't want to. I mean, I don't want to, make it too long and drawn out.
No, that's fine, because I mean we put it in the 505 time slot.
Oh, well, that's wonderful then. Yeah,
do whatever you want there. By the way, we'll be off on the show today at 5, like we always are.
Oh, I thought we were going an extra 5 minutes.
No,
I must have got a different memo than you got.
I don't think I could take it. We sold this segment called Random Thoughts with Kevin Herr.
Deep Thoughts with Jack Handy.
I think Steve has the shakes.
I just thought you had too much coffee. I'm just picturing what you would look like with the shakes, because I don't think I've ever seen you even slightly nervous, let alone shakes.
Yeah, that's a good point. All right, bottom of the hour, news coming up next, and then look at high school football.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
I am in the Sunbury Motors studio. We'll talk about Kevin's vehicle of choice this week, the Kia Sorento, in a few minutes. Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street Auto Mall in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in beautiful Hummel's Wharf, right near the Susquehanna Valley Country Club. Sealands Grove and Jersey Shore for the district championship. Pat O'Brien's the play-by-play voice of Sealands Grove football. Pat, great to hear you again. Thanks a lot for carving out a few minutes for us.
I appreciate it. It's great to be on and get a little preview of this great game that we're anticipating tomorrow night.
We talked about this same game, what, about 3-4 weeks ago?
Absolutely.
Right around there.
Yep. Back in week 8.
What must change schematically in order to flip that score?
Well, the one thing that you talk about in a lot of games on any level, and that's turnovers. Jersey Shore is very, very good, undefeated, obviously, at 11-0. And when you give them short field on back-to-back kickoffs or special teams, one was a punt that was muffed. They got it at midfield, took it in and scored. And then the ensuing kickoff, they swip-kicked it to keep it away from Javon Batts and Angelo Martin. It was mishandled. Jersey Shore jumped on top of it and proceeded to work it right down the field and got more points. So there were 10 points scored off just those two turnovers, so that becomes a huge key. They have made some changes up front in the offensive line to try to seal off the edges for Javon Batts. So that's a big change in the Sealands Grove approach. The freshman quarterback is now 4 weeks older, and Logan Leiby. And last week against Chickalimmie, as Kevin would tell you, and in all seriousness, he looked very good hitting stationary targets, and I think that's a big adjustment they've made for the young quarterback. So those are just little pieces that will have to be different this game if Sealands Grove come out with a victory.
Jersey Shore hasn't been in this position where they've been undefeated going into a district championship game. Give me an importance, Pat, of playing with the lead and, on top of that, putting the game pressure and the situation pressure on Jersey Shore.
Well, and it's amazing because I look over the years for Sealands Grove, and the one constant is they seem to be involved in these playoff games year in and year out. There's been years where a team like Mifflinburg has had a nice class come through, and the Shmokins and Milton, and these different teams have come through. And so it's going to be very important because, just like you said, Steve, this team has not consistently been on this stage. So I think it becomes very important to put any doubt at all into their minds. Now, they're very, very confident, and they're just through and through a very strong, stable team. So it would be very difficult to really do that, but it would be huge for Sealands Grove to just put an ounce of doubt in their mind that maybe this thing is falling apart for them, and to do that by getting a couple touchdowns and just easing into this thing, I think would become very, very important. Like I said, it's just that element of putting, are we letting this thing go in this 11-0 season, getting away from us? It would just be a huge part for Sealands Grove to get that in their minds.
With the running game, give me the importance, Pat, of the ability of Sealands Grove to shorten the game.
Well, and one of the things that I've been talking back and forth to our stat man and to my broadcast partner, Ryan Brand, about is that Javon Batts needs to have more carries than the quarterback has attempts, which tells me that they are giving it to him and not putting the strain on the freshman quarterback to come up with the big plays. Over the last couple weeks, Sealands Grove's been in short and mediums and short and closer because they've relied on that running game, and I just think that all plays very well into what you're saying. It's cut the game down, run the ball, get 5 yards, move it down the field, and that's on the flip side, that's exactly what Jersey Shore does. They're not this explosive team that's going to break off these long runs. They're going to methodically work it down the field. So this game could be one of the quickest games you ever see because both teams will rely on that running game. And like you're saying, I just think it's so important to Sealands Grove to be able to have a lot of carries, a lot of rushes, work up the yardage, and just be able to stay with that game plan and not get away from it too early like they did the last time.
Pat, as you mentioned in your initial answer, it was in week 8 that Sealands Grove took on Jersey Shore. When you walked out of the press box that night, what was it about Jersey Shore where you said to yourself, yeah, I can see why they're undefeated?
Well, cutting down a guy like Javon Batts in the running game. I mean, they forced Sealands Grove to go away from Javon early in the second half. He broke off the very first play of the second half for a 56-yard touchdown run, and they went back to him one other time in the entire second half. He lost 5 yards, and boy, just it almost felt like this big weight that they just lay on you and say, you know, we're taking that away, go to something else. And I tell you, they just look so strong and stable. They've got Bryce Charles playing the middle of that defense, and it literally looks like you're trying to push a truck up a hill, and they just keep pushing back. And when I walked out of it, I said, they're going to have to come up with something to be able to offset that, because they can't go right against their strongest force, and that's between the tackles defensively. And I'm hoping with the last couple of weeks that they've been able to realize what they can do with that and avoid that push that they're going to get from Jersey Shore, so strong, and they just keep coming and coming and coming. And I just hope they can offset it tomorrow night and be able to get away from dealing with that.
One final question, Pat, then I'll let you go. And again, we appreciate your time with Pat O'Brien. He'll be calling the game tomorrow night. Pat, when a school goes through an undefeated season like Jersey Shore, the town over the years has rallied around such teams. When you were there in Week 8, did you sense there was a rally in that town around this team?
Oh, my gosh, absolutely. I mean, I've covered, since 2009, I've covered many, many Jersey Shore games. And, you know, even just the media coverage, when they would send down media coverage down to Seals Grove, we half giggle, because it's two guys that look like they're, you know, older guys who love Jersey Shore and who are just trying to hang on to hope get, you know, an opportunity to cover a great team. And here we are, you know, 3 or 4 years later. I mean, they were 0-10 2 years ago, 6-7 last year, and now 11-0, the most wins in 94-year history of Jersey Shore, and the town is just in a buzz. You ride in there, and you can feel it. And that's something they're going to have to overcome, too, because there is that vibe in the stadium that just, you know, just helps the home team so much. But absolutely, there it's neat. You know, I mean, as a high school fan, yeah, it's neat. And Seals Grove deals with that year in and year out. Jersey Shore is feeling that right now. And it's going to be a big deal for Seals Grove to try to overcome not only the team, the coaching, but the home crowd, too. They are in a buzz. And it's neat. I can't wait for tomorrow night.
Will be a lot of fun. And the game is on, what, Kevin, 94KX tomorrow night, I believe.
Yes, on 94KX.
Yeah, 94KX. Pat, you always do a great job, and appreciate you carving out a few minutes for us today to preview the game.
Thank you, Steve. Look forward to talking to you next week when we move on to state playoffs.
Sounds good.
All right, thanks,
Pat
Steve.
O'Brien.
Bye-bye.
Pat O'Brien, the play-by-play voice of the Seals Grove Seals, as they get Jersey Shore coming up tomorrow night. Jersey Shore with, for them, a historic season. 11-0. But at this stage, you are in the knockout group. We will come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Never before in the annals of Kia history have we been able to offer you 0%
APR for up to 75 months, that is.
Yes, 0% APR financing is available for the month of November on all 2014, 2015 Optima and Optima hybrids.
And they start at $21,550
with payments of $288 per month.
But we're just getting started.
We also have 0% APR for up to 75 months on the 2015 Serrano, starting at $24,163 with payments of $322 per month. And there's more, like 0% APR for up to 60 months on 2014 Forte Coupes. And all new Kias are marked down to sell and all come with a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited powertrain warranty. So hurry in to Sunbury Motors Kia on the strip at Hummel's Wharf
or at sunburymotors.com
and see how much vehicle 0% buys you.
Tax and tax extra. Special financing through Kia Motor Finance to well-qualified buyers. See dealer for details.
Welcome back. Great to have you with us on this Thursday. Don't forget, we are coming up on Random Thought. We try to come up with segments where Kevin can excel. Like the rant of the day. We should bring back the rant of the day.
I haven't had anything to rant about lately, have I?
Oh, are you kidding me?
All right.
Let's see. Todd Haley, play calling. You know, I mean, the Steelers hit the NFL exacta. They lost to Tampa Bay and the Jets in the same year.
That is not what I would call it exacta. You can call it what
Ryan
you want.
Ryan Howard. I mean, come on. There's an endless fountain of hate in
here. Okay, maybe there are a few things.
A few things? You know, and then Buhner and I try to get you to go to dinner with us, a little bonding moment. You blow us off. I mean, look, if you want, if, you know, internally, if you want to think you're bigger than we are or bigger than the show, fine. That's fine internally. But, I mean, you know, to go public like this is not good.
Is it true that there is a time for the second game of the basketball tournament, the Charlestown Classic?
No. Depends on if they win.
I guess
or
it's
lose.
A win or lose time. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Yeah. So it always depends on
gotcha.
Where you fall into place.
All right.
So.
Just
you seem to be obsessed with the. You seem to be obsessed with that tournament. I'm not going.
You're not going, so you don't care. But it does. Listen, I'm not against tournaments. It's just a challenge to figure out when everything's going to be played.
Well,
it's a wee bit of a challenge.
Well, overcome it.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Happy.
What?
Overcome it. Your motivational
excuse
speaking
me.
Is not your strength, okay?
Oh, excuse me. You are wrong on that one.
I did get a message that Sunday's game.
You are wrong on that one.
That Sunday's game is going to be 1 o'clock. This is the 23rd, by the way. 1 o'clock, 3:30, 6 or 8:30. In other words, it could happen anytime, day or night.
Right, it's an eight-team tournament. It depends on what you do, but you'll have plenty of time. You'll know Friday night what time the game is, because there's no game Saturday.
Well, that's true. There's that break in between, but
that's why there had been consideration, because I did this tournament and football at the same time. I don't know when's the last time they were there, 7, 9, something like that. I mean, it was 2007, maybe, and Penn State was there and played in this thing. And I did it. I did the first game on Thursday, and then we did the talk show that night. And then it came back and played Friday. I think played it like Friday at noon. See, that was the difference. Penn State was in the early bracket. Played Friday at noon. I caught a 6 o'clock flight to Atlanta. Flew from Atlanta to Detroit. And drove from Detroit to Lansing. Got to Lansing at like 2 in the morning. And then did the game on Saturday with Michigan State. Flew back, drove back to Detroit and had a 5:30 flight to Atlanta. I had this cab driver named Johnny. And actually, this is one of the reasons I was looking forward to it, because I wanted to see Johnny again. Johnny's a cool dude, right? And I talked to the front desk at the hotel. I said, look, here's my situation. Sunday, I'm going to have to fly back in. I'm going to need a cab driver at the airport waiting for me that will be solely there to take me. Okay? And they said, oh, hey, there's this guy that we use named Johnny, and they gave me the number. So, great. So, I get the number. I call this guy up. I meet him. And then I ended up... I didn't need him to take me to the airport. I was able to take a shuttle over. Well, this guy calls me Saturday before the Michigan State game, calls me up, right, to tell me that he drove the route and timed it out. Like, holy cow, I'm dealing with a real, like, wow.
Are you sure it was a cab and not a limousine driver?
And this guy timed it out, the whole thing. So I get up in Detroit. I wake up at like 4:30 in the morning, or 4 o'clock in the morning, 4 a.m. The game's at 10. Game's at 10 because Penn State lost the first two games. So the Sunday game was at 10 a.m. They'd won one. I would have been able to buy myself all sorts of time. And I wake up, and the fog is so thick, I can't. And I was, my hotel was next to the rent-a-car lot. I can't see the rent-a-car lot. I thought, oh, well, this dream's over. We're not getting out of here. I had to roll down the window to see how to make the left turn into the rent-a-car lot. Well, I get in there, I drop it off, get on the bus, go over. We board at 5, and I'm out of there at 5:30. Get into Atlanta, go from Atlanta. I get into Charleston 20 minutes early. And Johnny is there waiting for me. Boom. Right to the arena. Boom. Okay? So I didn't really care. I took 50 and handed it to him and said, you know, he said, because he was only going to charge me, I think, $20, whatever. I said, 50, you keep it. Right? He starts hugging me. I said, Johnny, it's 2 minutes of 10. I'm on the air at 10.
I appreciate the gratitude. Gotta go.
You know, and believe me, if I had an extra few minutes, I would have spent time where. But how about that? Then he told me the next time, he gave me his card. I still have it. If I'm down in Charleston, he also, you know, you mentioned the limo part. He has his own little limo service, right, that he does on the side that's his. He said, I'll take you around the city. I said, which I would have done. I'd have called him up. But the reason I can't do it this time is Thursday I'm fine and Sunday I'm fine. In fact, the times Thursday and Sunday work out beautifully. No issue. The problem is Friday's game. Friday's game is either, what is it, 5 o'clock or 7:30? Those are the two options.
Friday?
On the 21st?
Yeah, I think that's what it is.
It didn't matter which one because Penn State was put into the evening bracket. I can't get to Champaign.
Yeah, Friday's either 6:30 or 9 for a start time.
Right. See, I can't get to Champaign. Because I can't get a flight out of Charleston that will get me there. Can't do it. Getting back, I have no problem getting back. But getting to Champaign, I can't. You'd be stunned how uptight they would be if I didn't do football.
No, I wouldn't be.
I know you wouldn't be uptight about me doing football, but the network is. So they said, look.
No, I wouldn't be surprised, is what I meant.
About what?
I wouldn't be surprised about them being uptight about doing football.
No, that's been always been the big worry of me going back and forth has always been, now look, when it comes to the football thing, come on, you know, it's like, okay. And I've done it. Everyone knows, because I've tried to, you know, do both over the years and have had a high success rate over the years of doing both at this time of the year. I mean, for example, I've got basketball Friday and Sunday this weekend, and I've got football Saturday. Well, it's no big deal. They're all home games. But because there was no way to get me from Charleston to either Indianapolis or Chicago, and the other part is now we now know, which we didn't know weeks ago, they put the Illinois game in a six-day hole. We don't even know what the kickoff is. So we don't know what time the basketball game is Friday night. We don't know what the kickoff is on Saturday for football. So they said, get on the team charter, go with football. These will be the only three games you'll miss this year. Okay. So that's the story. No story time with Steve? No clothes?
No, I needed a...
The Johnny story is a great story.
The Johnny story was a good story. It was.
Johnny story is a great story. Come on.
The Johnny story was...
No, forget it. You ruined it. Sarah Bartlett would have played it. It's like, if you work like three consecutive weeks, you lose your game, your edge.
We can't let that happen.
I mean, you go three straight weeks. Oh, I've done 15 straight shows.
This is too hard. This is now a job.
I mean, I told Roger, I don't want to work. I just want to sit there.
Work. Speaking of... Yeah, go ahead.
Speaking of taking time off, yes, you should see the list he sent me.
No. I was going to say, speaking the little story time with Steve Music. I actually watched Sherman and Peabody, or Mr. Peabody and Sherman last night on DVD.
So, I see.
And they have the little janitor at the end of the movie sweeping things up at the end.
Of course. Of course.
We're sitting there. My wife and I are laughing hysterically at a couple of things that, well, we would understand because we used to watch it growing up. Daniel's sitting there going, I don't get it. What's so funny? I said, if I have to explain it, it won't work for you. I said, maybe you'll have to go to YouTube. Watch some of the old ones. You go to YouTube for everything else.
Tomorrow, Harry Donahue, the play-by-play voice of Temple football. Dave Revson from BTN tomorrow.
Forever.
And we're bringing back the Kevin Herr rant of the day.
I know, I'm excited.
Starting today.
Oh, now I got to think of something. Man, this is becoming a job now.
It's natural. It's in your wheelhouse.